we've been looking at this. Will the world really end? Yes, the world is going to end someday. All right? Yes, the trumpet will sound and Jesus will come. It will end someday. Will it end on December 21st, 2012? No. I can say that with confidence because the Bible says nobody knows. All right? So those guys that say it's going to end there, they don't know. They don't know. So we don't know, but it is going to end. And so are you ready? Am I ready? Whether maybe I'm not going to see the end. Maybe I'll pass away before the end. You know, I'm 55 now. 2012, I'll be 57. Some of you are going, you're waiting too long, all right? No, I'm not, all right? Yeah. And so, you know, are you ready? I mean, you know, the trumpet will sound. And last week, I kind of, you know, talked about, well, so what does all that mean? And I described heaven and five crowns that the Bible speaks of, that when you pass away and when you arrive in heaven after Jesus comes again and we're all ascended into heaven and we come before the judgment seat of God, he has these five crowns. And I don't have them memorized. You know, the crown of glory and the crown of righteousness. And the one I want to look at this morning, because I think this is really important, because what are we supposed to do till he comes? What am I supposed to be about till he comes? Am I just supposed to be passing through this world? Just making the best of my time and doing the best I can? What am I supposed to be doing? What impact will I have? And so one of the crowns to me is a crown that every one of us should be working towards. It's a crown to me that, for me, as I've looked at the crowns, for me, this is a crown I dream of the most. It's the thing that I desire the most. Look at the crown here. What is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? To me, the greatest crown, the greatest joy for me will be walking the streets of gold, walking through those pearly gates, and seeing people who will say, thank you for telling me about Jesus. Thank you for ministering. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being there. To me, that glory will be in the crown of sharing our faith. See, what are we supposed to do till Jesus comes? What am I supposed to be about until the trumpet sounds? What should my life and what impact should my life have until the day that I pass from this world into the other? What should it be? I should be about God's business. I should be about sharing my faith. And I want to ask, when's the last time you shared Jesus? Yesterday? Friday? Last week? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? A month? A year? When's the last time you even thought, you just thought about sharing Jesus? Now, I'm not talking about getting a big old black Bible and beating somebody in the head with it, all right? I'm not talking about walking down to your neighbor's house, knocking on all the doors and say, turn or burn, turn or burn. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you're standing around and you're talking and this world is really messed up and things are really bad and somebody says, how come you're so happy? What brings you joy? And you go there, I don't know. I'm just making the best I can. But see, we're just, and what I want you to look at is we're just like the disciples are. Jesus was born of a virgin, lived for 30 some odd years, died on a cross. You know the story, right? We're getting ready for Easter, right? Died on a cross, buried in a tomb, and what happened? He rose again, all right? He rose again to walk this earth for some 50 days, all right? He walked this earth for about 50 days, just a few short there, somewhere in that range. And as he walked this earth, he taught his disciples in that time from his death to his ascension into heaven. And then as he prepared to ascend into heaven, look at what he had to say to his disciples. Look at this scripture here with me. So when they meet together, they ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, he says, Lord, is it time for the world to be over? That's what that question is. Lord, is it time to shut this world down? It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power. Did you hear what he said? Don't worry about that time. Don't fret about that time. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's go to the next. After he said this, okay, you see what he said? He said, listen, don't worry about when I come. You need to be my witnesses. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight, ascending into heaven on a cloud. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? I think this is really key. Jesus walked, Jesus taught, Jesus preached. They believed, they followed, and they followed him after his ascension. I mean, after his death, his burial, his resurrection. They walked with him some 50 days nearly. And then he ascends into heaven. He says, go tell others about me. Go tell others what you just seen, what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've experienced. Go share. What impact will you have? Go share. And they stand there gazing into the sky. I can imagine their mouths falling open as Jesus ascends into heaven. You know, what now? What are we going to do? Jesus is gone. I mean, they ran away after he died on the cross. What are they going to do now? As they stood there looking into the sky. And it says, why are you standing? I think if Jesus came today, he would say, why are you sitting around? Why are you sitting around? I've told you. I've shared with you. Go and tell others about me. You know, I've kind of made fun of the people that when I was in Willits that were hiking up 101 wearing those robes, and they're going to go to some mountaintop in Oregon, and they're going to sit on some mountaintop and wait for Jesus. Jesus. And they're going to sit on some mountaintop waiting for Jesus. Are we doing any different as a church when I just come to church and I sit in church? Jesus, Jesus. And I sing his praises and I glorify him. We're just not on a mountaintop. We're just sitting in church. I read my Bible. I pray. I'm a good Christian man. I'm a good Christian woman. And I'm just praising Jesus. Jesus, when's he going to come? Jesus, I read your Bible every day. Jesus, I'm in church every time the door is open. Jesus, I try to do what's right. I try to be that good person. Jesus, I want to be with you. What impact will we have? What impact will my life have? See, the only reason, I'm going to tell you, you read God's word. There, I'm going to give you one reason why Jesus hasn't came back. You can read the Bible, front to cover, back to forward, any way you want to read it, part of it at a time. Read the new and then read the old. Read it any way you want. You will find one reason God has not sent Jesus back. There is only one reason. Look at what the scripture says. Go ahead and push it. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. You get the picture? Don't worry about what day it is. It might be the first day. It might be 1,000 years. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The only reason the trumpet hasn't sounded, the only reason Jesus hasn't come yet, is there some people that need to believe in him. There are some people that need to cross that line of faith. There are some people that need to accept Jesus Christ. You know what the reality? Here's what I have a picture in my mind. Now, I'm just going to kind of extrapolate from this verse a picture. This is just Gary's picture. Make sure you understand this. I could see God up there just watching. And here's that last person that he has identified. And that person, he's just waiting. And that person says, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them you. Come to my life and take control, God. Come and take control of my life. And that person crosses that line of faith, and boom, the trumpet sounds, and Jesus comes. That's what I see. We need to be telling others about Jesus. We need to be sharing others about Jesus. We need to, God is waiting. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. I tried to scare the hell out of you this week, 2 weeks ago. I don't know about you. I liked that video, and they came out and saying, I wish we'd all be ready. Some of you wrote, this scares me on your blue card. Some of you told me as you went out, that was scary. Well, I wanted to scare the hell out of you. They came back next week and told you, let's go to heaven. All right? Now I want to tell you, go tell others about heaven. What impact will you have? And as I looked at this, and what's amazing to me is God's word from Genesis to Revelation is a picture of what God does. And so often I think we read stories in the Old Testament and think that's how God was. I think the beautiful picture of this verse and the best picture of this verse is found in the Old Testament. I think there's an event or a story, whatever you want to call it. It's true. It's real. It happened. And it's in the Old Testament, and it's a minor prophet. And I think this verse is seen in God in the Old Testament. There was a man and a people just like our world is today. Anybody got an idea? Making you think? I think this verse is seen in reality in the story of Jonah and Nineveh. I think this verse is when God moved to call Jonah and send Jonah to Nineveh. Because I think I see this verse and I see ourselves in this verse. Because God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. So if you look at your outline, I want to encourage you to get it out. At the right there, that first little blank I want you to put in there. I want you to put in there a little word that says mission. I have a mission. I have a mission. There's a purpose for my life. There's a reason for my life. There's something for me to do, for me to be a part of. And God called Jonah for a mission. Look at the scripture. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. All right? God calls to Jonah and says, Jonah, I got a mission for you. Anybody ever seen the movie Mission Impossible or watched that series Mission Impossible? Anybody, they got that cassette. I remember, I got to talk my old days. You know, they got a cassette tape. Put the cassette tape in there. You know, here's your mission. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's going to self-destruct in 5 seconds. The smoke starts pouring out, you know, and God gives us a mission. I don't see any smoke coming out of it or anything, but God gives us a mission. We all have this mission. God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach. All right? God said the same thing to us. Again, push the button, and let's look at this next verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be on mission in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Isn't that what it says? I changed the word witness to mission, but isn't that true? Just as God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, God has called us into the world today. All right? God said Nineveh was a wicked place. God said Nineveh was far from him. God said Nineveh really didn't even know who God was. But I want you to go there, Jonah. And God is telling us, I want you to go into the world. I'm going to give you special power through the Spirit. And I want you to go into the world and tell others about me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This message this morning is for us as a church. It's for us as Christians. If you're not a Christian this morning, you might agree with some of the things I'm going to say later and say, yeah, that's how Christians are. But I'm going to say some things about Christians. You might say, I always thought Christians were that way. If you're a Christian, you need to pay attention because we are called to be on mission. What impact will my life have? What difference will I make in this world? Am I just going to pass through? Am I just going to kind of disappear through this world and just be another thing, another person that just kind of walked around and nobody ever knows? What impact will I have? I'm on mission for God. I have something God wants me to do, every one of us. And I want to make sure you understand this. Every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ, every person who's crossed that line of faith and accepted Jesus Christ is on mission for God, okay? Every one of us. If you believe in Jesus and you've accepted him, you are on mission for God. That's what he has said. He didn't say just pastors. He didn't just say your Bible study leaders. He just didn't say whoever. He says, every believer is on mission for me. So just as Jonah had his calling, we get our calling. All right? But are we sitting around? What did Jonah do? What did Jonah do? Let's look at what Jonah did. Let's look at the next scripture. That Jonah ran from the Lord. That Jonah ran from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. It'd be like God comes to Gary and says, Gary, I want you to go to New York and tell people about me. It's like, okay, I'm going to go to San Francisco and get on a boat sailing for Japan. That's what he did. So you know what I want you to write? You see that extra blank you have there? Push the button. I want you to write this word. I'm on mission. Maybe. Maybe I'll go. Maybe I'll share. Maybe I'll tell someone. Or maybe I'll run the other way. Maybe I'll sit in church every Sunday. Maybe I'll pray every day. Maybe I'll read my Bible every day. And maybe I'll tell somebody about you. When's the last time you told somebody? When's the last time you told somebody that God loves them? When's the last time you even thought about it? You even thought about saying, God loves you. See, I think we live in this maybe here. I think we live in this we'll see. We'll see what goes on. No, I'm not going to put a white robe on and hike to some mountain in Oregon. Sit on some mountain. Ooh, Jesus, come. But am I sitting in church just doing the churchy thing? Is that what I'm supposed to do till Jesus comes? Do the churchy thing? Go to church every time the doors are open. Pray every day. Read my Bible every day. Go to home group every week. I'm doing the churchy thing, and Jesus is going to come someday. Is that what I'm supposed to do? That's it. Just pack it all up, and that's all I do. See, Jonah ran the other way. Jonah went the other way. Now, many of you know the rest of the story, right? Don't you like the rest of the story? Many of you know the rest of the story. Jonah ran away. He jumps on this ship. The ship starts sailing off, and they hit a storm. A bad storm. Now, these are professional sailors, I guess is what I would call them. They're professionals. They do that. They know the ocean. They know the Mediterranean Sea. They know what it's like out there, and they're professionals, and they hit a storm. And it scares them. And they don't know what to do. And finally, Jonah has to say, well, you know what? I know what the problem is. It's me. Jonah says, I'm the problem. Throw me overboard and things will get better. They didn't want to do that. You can read on. They didn't want to do it. So but it didn't get better. So they finally threw Jonah in. And a giant fish swallows Jonah. Now, you need to know. The Bible says it. And it's true. I don't care if you believe it or not, all right? Doesn't matter what you believe. The Bible said it. It's true. Some giant fish swallowed Jonah. It's true. It happened. All right? Now, Jonah's in the belly of that fish for several days, and finally he relents, and the fish spits him up on dry land, and God gives him a second chance. Look at the scripture again with me. Look at this next scripture. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. All right, Jonah, you get a second chance. Does anybody here need a second chance besides me? A second chance to tell somebody? Have you ever looked back and you go, I wish I would have said this to so-and-so? Anybody? I wish I would have thought about this. I wish I would have remembered this. See, we all need second chances. And so God calls to Jonah and says, I'm going to give you a second chance. You're going to get another opportunity to share and to tell others about me. We need those second chances. We need those other opportunities to tell others. So as you look at your outline and you're following along, I want to take to the next point. I want to say this one. I am on mission with God. I'm on mission with God. Okay, catch this now. I'm not on mission for God. I'm not doing this for God. I am doing this with God. God's with me. Remember that verse I read in Acts 1:8? And you received the Holy Spirit? See, God is with us on this mission. It's not like God's sitting there saying, I'm going to sit up here in the tower and you guys go out there and catch me later. God's sitting there saying, let's go. Let's go. I'm walking with you. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to give you the power you need to do this. And God offers that to him. And God offers that opportunity to him. See, we're on mission with God. And so Jonah goes out with God. Look what the scripture says. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. He did what? Obeyed. It says, you called me, I'm saying yes, I'm going to go. And he went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed. They declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Jonah goes and says, God said come, so I'm coming. I'm coming into the city. 3 days to walk across. That's a pretty good sized city. All right. I could walk across Modesto in a day. You know, literally, I have. I've walked from the other side of Five Points all the way up to the mall. I've walked that in less than a day. This is a city that took 3 days to walk across. I mean, this is no small city, okay? And he walks across, and he's preaching Jesus, and what happens? People believe. People are excited. They accept the message. They believe in what Jonah's telling them, that you have wandered the wrong way. You have done the wrong thing. See, and you got to remember who the Ninevites were. The Ninevites didn't know God. They didn't know Moses. They didn't know the Ten Commandments. They didn't know any of this. I wonder what Jonah must have, after spending 3 days in the belly of a fish, I wonder what Jonah looked like. You know? They didn't know any of this. These were evil, wicked people. And Jonah preaches to them, and they believe. This is where the book should end. This is where Jonah should be jumping up and down. Yay, God, man. Woo, look what we did. Thank you, Jesus, man. I got to be a part of turning a city around for God. This is exciting, man. Look what God's done. Look what he accomplished. If the book ended here, this would be great. This would be awesome, man. God is awesome. God works. God turned this place upside down. And just a day before, they didn't even know who God was. That would be exciting. I don't know about you, but for a pastor, man, you'd be pumped. You'd be flying, man. I'd be walking off the stage like a cloud. If tomorrow morning, everybody in Slida just said, we're turning to God. Yesterday morning, I got to pray at Slida Little League. I enjoy that. They invite me every year to pray at Slida Little League. Some of them said, I talked with some of the people afterwards. They said it wouldn't be the same if you didn't come and do a prayer. I love that. I love that I get a chance to pray in front of hundreds of people out there with their children. And I pray for their children, and I pray for all of that. And it'd be amazing that this morning, not because of my prayer, because I prayed, everybody starts going to church the next day, man. Wouldn't it be amazing? I mean, wouldn't it be party time? You know, let's close the book, it's over. Wow, I wish. But was Jonah a happy man? Look what the scripture says. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. I don't know. When God turns a town upside down, I don't know if I'm going to get displeased and angry. I don't know. He prayed to the Lord. Oh, Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That's why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. This is important for us as a church. This is important, not just for our church, but for Christians to understand. God moved in the lives of people, and Jonah was displeased and angry. Why? You know, Jonah wasn't afraid to go to Nineveh. It doesn't say Jonah feared when he went to Nineveh, he was going to be murdered by the Ninevites. That he was going to be beat up, mugged. It doesn't say Jonah was afraid to go to Nineveh because they weren't going to listen to him. It doesn't say that. Why did Jonah not want to go to Nineveh? Not fear, not acceptance. That had nothing to do with it. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because God was going to save those people. That's what it says, isn't it? God was going to save wicked people that Jonah hated. God was going to save people that Jonah didn't like, that hated the Jews, that didn't know God, that didn't know Moses, didn't know his word, hadn't memorized a stitch of the Torah. They knew nothing. They looked weird, acted funny, and Jonah hated them. And he didn't want them to get saved. What does that say to us as a church? Huh? People are dying out there that aren't like us. You know, they got tattoos. They got piercings in weird places. They have purple hair. I watched some race car driver during qualifying had purple hair. They dress funny. They talk weird. And I hate them. We don't want them to get sick. I hate the music they listen to. I hate the way they dress. I hate them. Do we act like this? Maybe not with our words, but our actions. We gather in church every Sunday, and we never talk to anybody between this Sunday and next Sunday about coming to church and finding Jesus. I'm amazed when somebody tells me, I don't know anybody. There's 33 million people in California alone without Jesus Christ, and you don't know anybody? I don't think God's going to buy that when you stand there. If you don't get the crown of joy, then you got a problem. And I think you're going to have a problem with God. And I'm not talking about beating somebody in the head with a black Bible. I mean, I'm going to get me this big old black Bible. I was going to make me a big old card. I was going to have Dan make me. Don't you like that? Great big black Bible and say, okay, here it is. We're just going to throw it at everybody. I'm talking about what has God done for you? That's it. How has God touched your heart? How has God spoken to you? What meaningful thing? I mean, I could go down the list of things that God has done for me. Just I'm not beating them in the head, not dragging them. Turn, burn, you're going to hell if you... excuse me, if you don't. Maybe God didn't want me to say that. He hated those people. They were wicked, evil, rotten people. They didn't act like the Jews. They didn't talk like the Jews. They didn't know the Jews. They didn't know. Well, they don't know the Bible out there. Some people out there don't even have a Bible in their home now. I can't imagine when I was growing up not having a Bible in the home. You know how I picked my Bible when I picked my first Bible? I wanted the Bible that had the verse numbers on the outside edge. I didn't know what the difference was between an RV and a KJV. I didn't know there was a difference. I just noted I wanted the one with the numbers on the outline. It was quicker and easier to find them that way. Instead of trying to look in the middle of a paragraph, where's that number at? I didn't know that stuff. Sitting at my grandma's chair at Christmas time, and who's Jesus' mother? I don't know. Where was he born? Hospital. That's where everybody's born, aren't they? Come on. I mean, do we get upset when some people get sick that we don't? They don't look right. They don't smell right. I remember being at Knott's Berry Farm. Christian night at Knott's Berry Farm, and we're in line to ride the bumper cars, and Laura and I are there, and there's a group in front of us. They smelt. They weren't smelling. They smelt bad, like marijuana. It's Christian night at Knott's Berry Farm, and they smelt like marijuana. You know, I told Laura they crawled out from a rock. You know, instead of rejoicing that somebody was turning their life around, I was the college kid going to college to study to be a preacher. And these dirty, stinky, marijuana-smoking freaks were in front of me. Do we ever say things like that? No. Do we thank them? So you know what? Got an extra blank there. What do you think goes in that extra blank? Put it there. No, Lord, take away my life. Okay, go ahead. Should be maybe in there. There it is. There's the maybe. I'm on mission with God. Maybe. Maybe. No, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. God, I hate to see you do this. I hate what you're doing, God. I'm done. I'm full. I'm tired. I've had it. God, just take me home. I'm done. That's what Jonah said, isn't it? God is waiting patiently so that no one perishes to hell. And maybe we're not sitting with some white robes on some mountain in Oregon, but we're sitting in chairs waiting for his to come. I want to challenge us to take away that maybe, to be on mission for God, to be a part of what God is doing. What happens is this. Jonah gets mad. Jonah gets upset. Says all these words to God. God finally speaks. Look at the next verse. God finally speaks. But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry? Think about this, Jonah. Just a few days ago, you were in the belly of a stinking fish. And you didn't smell too well yourself. And now you're upset because I'm being a gracious God to others? Wasn't I just gracious to you? Wasn't I just merciful to you? Wasn't I just compassionate to you? Didn't I just care for you? And now you're angry because I'm compassionate to others? Because I care for others? Because I'm concerned for others? And now you're upset?" God asked him a question. You know what Jonah does? He doesn't answer. Jonah takes off, walks up the hill, and sits on top of this hill and looks at Nineveh. He's sitting there looking at Nineveh. Now you got a picture. He's in Iraq. This is modern day Iraq. He's sitting there in Iraq on this hill, overlooking Nineveh, ticked off, upset, mad, full up to here, sitting there. 120 degrees, no shade, no nothing. And he's mad. I can just see him sitting there steaming. When's God going to destroy this city? Just, why isn't God sending the thunder down now on this city? Make it like Sodom and Gomorrah, God. And just sitting on this hill. Doesn't say what he said. Doesn't say what he was doing. I can just imagine in his head. He's sitting there. While he's sitting on this hill, God sends, just like he sent a fish, he sends a plant called a gourd, okay? Now, it's a big plant with great big leaves on it. It's 100-degree weather out there plus. And Jonah's sitting there. And this plant sprouts up and gives him some shade. Whew. At least I got some shade. Even in the shade, it's 100 degrees, but at least I got some shade. Jonah is sitting there under a gourd tree overlooking Nineveh. All right? And then God sends a worm. And God's not done with him yet. All right? God sends a worm, not to Jonah, but to the gourd tree. Jonah didn't get worms, all right? The gourd tree got worms, okay? And the gourd tree dies. The gourd tree, Jonah's shade dies. That tree that sprang up overnight and covered him and gave him a cool place to sit with a cool breeze died. All right? Guess what Jonah does? He gets mad. He gets angry. He's ticked off. Look at what it says. But God said to Jonah, "Do you have any right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I am angry enough to die." It's amazing. Here's this tree. He gets shade. And now the tree dies. And he's ticked off at God because he took the tree away. The tree died. And God says, "You have any reason?" I think it's interesting. You know what's another interesting thing I noticed here? When God asked him, "Do you have any reason to be mad and angry about the people of Nineveh?" Jonah didn't say a word. He didn't answer God a word. He just walked off to the top of this hill. When his tree died, when his tree shriveled up and died, And God says, what are you mad about? He said, I'm mad about my tree. My tree's dead. My tree is gone. It was my shade. It was my comfort. I'm angry enough to die. I've had it. I'm full of it. It's over. Nona. Jonah. Jonah, Jonah, Jonah. All right? Jonah. Jonah could care less about the people going to hell over his tree. Think about it. People, I preach, they believe, man, what a day of rejoicing that will be. But now I got a tree and my tree's dead. I'm mad about those people getting saved and I'm mad about my tree dying. I didn't want them saved. Now my tree's dead. It's gone. What are we concerned with? What do you care about? What do you care about more than people becoming children of God? What concerns you more than people becoming Christians? Let me tell you, for us as Christians, for us as a church, see, we become judgmental. We look at the wicked people. Again, I'm not saying all people who have tattoos are wicked. I'm just saying we you know, they got tattoos, they got piercings, they got weird clothes, weird hair, they do stupid things. They don't act, what we're saying is this. They don't act, talk, walk like me. See, most of us, now listen, most of us are good Christian people. We're trying hard to be good Christian people. And we become judgmental when they don't meet up with our good Christian standards that we have set down, that we have decided. See, we become judgmental when we become so good that we forget about the grace of God that helped us. We become judgmental. We become judgmental when we move down the line and we walk close with God and we pray every day and we read our Bible every day and we're in church every time the doors are open and we're doing and we're there for God. But we look at others and they're not doing it. We become judgmental. Because they're not where we're at. What made Jonah mad? What was Jonah's problem? What was Jonah's sin? I was going to put this in here somewhere, and you might want to write this down. You know what Jonah's sin was? He had me-itis. All right? Jonah had the disease of me-itis. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's my comfort. It's hot here. I don't care if those people go to hell as long as I'm comfortable. As long as I get what I want. As long as I get my way. I'm comfortable. That's all that matters. Everybody else can go to hell as long as I'm okay. Isn't that what Jonah said? Come on now. Do you agree or not? Isn't that what Jonah said? I want to challenge us, because here's the challenge. Am I more concerned about some other garbage stuff going on than people going to hell? You guys are quiet. I'm not supposed to scare the hell out of you today. I'm supposed to scare you to go out there and get people out of hell. See, I don't want anybody. My heart, and from the time I came to Salida 20-some-odd years ago, was to become a pastor in Salida, not just pastor a church, but pastor a town. And make a difference and make an impact. I look back over my life and I remember my grandmothers. The one I thought was whacked out, she really was a little wacky. But when we get in the car at 15 years old and she prays every time, I've told you this. We get in the car, we're going to go down the hill to the mailbox and then back up the hill. And she prays. Grandma's crazy when you're 15 and doing that. Yeah. Now I'm 55 and I'm going, my grandma was smart. My grandmother and my grandfather on my mom's side and the faith they had and the things, the stories, and the way they were there for me. I remember going and coming home from college and going and seeing them, and grandma and grandpa would sit there and say, we're praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you and Laura. I'm praying for you, Laura and Jennifer. We're praying for you. And then I remember how that changed. And now I'm going to the convalescent home. My grandma and grandfather are there in the convalescent home, and they're not saying that anymore. But guess who's saying it? I'm telling my grandma and grandfather that I love them, and what a model they were, and what an impact they had in my life. What impact my pastor had. What impact Grandma Lily had for me. I just go down the line of people that had an impact in my life. See, what impact am I going to have? Am I more concerned about, I don't know, tattoos, piercings, clothes, the color of hair? What is getting in the way? See, here's what's happened for us as Christians. We have made a decision and we have surrendered morally to God. I am going to live by the law. The Bible says do's and don'ts, and I've got that down. I have surrendered to the moral will of God. I have surrendered to the moral, I have surrendered to the disciplines of the Christian life. I will pray. I will read my Bible. I will attend church. I will go to small group. I will be a part of a body of Christ. I have surrendered to the disciplines of the Christian life. But have I surrendered to the purpose of God? And what is God's purpose? That none should perish. See, I think we as a church today, and I'm not just talking about our church, I'm talking about the church. I think the church today has surrendered to the moral will of God. We want to be good people. We want to do the right things. We want to say the right things. And we've surrendered to the moral will of God. I think we've surrendered to the disciplines of the Christian life. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read. I'm going to do the things that a Christian needs to do. But I don't think we as a church, and not just our church, but I'm talking about all churches, including our church, that we're not surrendered to the purpose of God. There are bigger concerns for us than people getting saved. I don't know what they are. I think we need to step back and think about it. I think we need to step back and pause and say, what concerns me more than somebody knowing Jesus Christ? Am I more concerned about some gourd? Am I more concerned about the heat? I can imagine, you know, as I looked at this, look at this next verse. That do not forget, oh, go back up, please. I'm sorry. That the Lord said, I have been concerned about this. You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. Jonah, you're worried about the vine. But Nineveh was more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. They're immature people. They're young. They don't get it. And many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? What are we more concerned about than people knowing Jesus? Jonah, what are you more concerned about? Jonah, what do you care about? Jonah, what do you care about? Me? It's hot. It's a long ways home. Jonah, what are you concerned about? How am I going to get home? I don't want another fish. Jonah, what are you concerned about? God says, there says, I'm concerned about Nineveh. Jonah, what are you concerned about? I'm concerned about this generation who does not know me. They don't even know the Bible. They don't have the Torah. Let's put it there. They didn't know the Torah. They didn't know God. They didn't know Moses. They didn't know the Ten Commandments. They knew nothing. I'm concerned about that, Jonah. What are you concerned about? It's hot. Why did you kill my tree? Jonah, I care about these people. What do you care about, Jonah? I don't know. Me? I think it's tragic. Gary, I care about your neighbor. I care about your neighbor. She doesn't know me. Gary, I care about that waitress, the one that's forgetting to fill your water glass, that you're getting frustrated because you're eating that spicy food and it's hot and you want some water. You know, Gary, I'm concerned about her. You don't know that she just found out her mother has cancer. And so her mind is somewhere else this morning. And I'm concerned about her. What do you care about, Gary? I want my water glass full. I'm thirsty. I want to ask us, what do we care about? What is our concern? What I'm asking is real simple. Do you have a burden for the lost? Do you have a burden for your neighbor? Do you really care? I'm going to ask you, here, I'm going to make this real plain and real simple. If you are not telling somebody, sharing some way, just your story about Jesus Christ, you don't care. Don't tell me any different. Don't say, I care if you're not doing anything. Don't tell me, I'm concerned if you're not making any effort. It won't work. See, what impact will you have? See, what is concerning? Gary, what matters to you? Oh, my comfort. Gary, what matters? I want to go to Disneyland. Gary, what are you concerned about? See, I want to ask, what are you concerned about? What's interesting is, this is it. It's over. The book of Jonah ends right here. Doesn't tell us what Jonah did. Doesn't tell you how Jonah responded. Doesn't tell you anything else. It ends. Boom. It's over. It's done. We don't know. I wish it would have ended at the third chapter. Or the second, excuse me, when they believed. And that was it. But it went on. But I see us. I see us standing here, sitting here, looking into the sky, and an angel going, what are you sitting around for? Why are you sitting here? Why are you here? I'm going to ask you real simple. What are you concerned about today? What are you concerned about? Are there people that you don't want to see saved? Maybe you're not saying it with your words, but are you saying it because of what you think? You behave? They don't look like it. They don't act like it. What are you concerned about? Look at the last passage. We're going to come back to this verse. We read it earlier. We're going to end with a verse. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. You don't know when Jesus is coming. That's what he's saying. Don't worry about it. You don't know when I'm coming. A day is like 1,000 years, all right? Or 1,000 years is like a day. So really, it's only been 2 days for God. Even though it's been 2,000 years since Jesus left, it's been 2 days. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. And wanting everyone to perish, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What are we doing? You know, this is the end of the world kind of a message. Someday the trumpet will sound. Someday Jesus will come. Maybe I'll be here. Maybe I will have died and passed on from this world, and I'll come down with him to see. That's what it says. Someday that's going to happen. But what impact will I have? Is it all about me? It's about me and what I want, what I like, and how I like, and what I do. What are you concerned with? You know, these are hard times. There's a lot of people hurting out there. What are you concerned with? I want to challenge you. Do you have the sin of Jonah? Do you? The me-itis? I want to ask you to break the bonds of sin and make a difference in your world. That's the impact you're going to have. That's the impact I want to have. I want to hear the words from God's mouth and Jesus when I arrive in heaven and I stand before him and he starts awarding the crowns like I described last week. I want to hear the words, well done, a good and faithful servant. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've messed up a whole lot. But I'm going to strive to do what God wants to do, what he's concerned with. not what Gary wants, not what Gary likes. You know what's interesting to me? Some people get this. Some of you get, that's why we're at the school. Some of you get this, that's why we're here. Some of you get this because you were here last night setting up. And you get this, that we've got to make some efforts. We've got to do some different things. We've got to try some things. And you get this. Some of you don't. I'm sitting there, some of you just don't get it. You just don't. You don't understand. Why is all this happening? I'm going to challenge you. You know, we always look at the Old Testament. Well, this is the Old Testament. And this is the New Testament. Jonah's in the Old Testament. Isn't it the same? Isn't God the same? I'm going to ask you, what are you concerned with? What's on your heart? What disturbs you? I'm going to ask you this morning, maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. And you looked at Christians and said, they're judgmental. I'm going to confess, yes, we've been judgmental. If you think Christians have been judgmental, I'll confess it. I've been judgmental. I'll take the blame. And I'm sorry. Maybe you want to say, I haven't been concerned or I don't care. And I want to confess, if I'm not concerned, I'm sorry. If I haven't showed you the proper care, I'm sorry. Because here's what I want. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, you haven't crossed, I want you to accept him this morning. I want you to have the courage to say, you know, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. And I want to challenge. I'm going to stand here in the front in just a minute. I'm going to call you to that. I'm going to ask anyone who wants to know him, come. That's my heart's desire. That you know him. But I also want to challenge us who are Christians. What are you concerned about? What concerns you more than people knowing Jesus Christ? What's on your heart? What's on your heart? Bottom of your page, I put it this way. I'm on mission with God. No maybe. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm on mission with God. Are you? That's my calling. Are you on mission? It's your choice. It's mine. Henceforth, there's laid up a crown of joy. Let's pray.